everybody making your way in. We got a good Father's Day crowd coming in, and just want to welcome everybody. If this is your first time to be here, what I want to tell you is you've come into a very special place, and we're not in competition with other churches. We're not anything like that, but the specialty in this church right here for me is just the love and the acceptance that everyone has. I've always just been real impressed with the way Eagles Way just accepts people as they are, and that's the way God intended it. I wanted to do something this morning a little bit different, and I want everybody to pay close attention because you got to follow my instructions to a T, okay? But we have, really, I'm going to call this the left section because it's on my left. I know that's backwards for you, but this is the center, both of those, and this is the right. So what I want to do this morning, first off, I want everybody in this left section to look all the way over here in this right section. Pick somebody out and wave to them. And just wave. Don't just wave, but look at somebody. Wave. Come on, let's get everybody involved. Come on. Give me a wave. All right. That's good. Thank you, David. Everybody in this right section, I want you to look at somebody in the left section over here. Pick somebody out. Look at them in the eye and wave at them. Just wave. Tell them hello. Good morning. All right, now, we're not going to leave you guys out. This section, look this way. This is going to be complicated now, okay? This section looked this way. This section looked that way. Wave back to each other. Everybody, let me see some waves. Let's go. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, good. All right, now, when the church service is over, whoever you looked at, make your way to them. Tell them hello. Speak to them. We have a tendency to sit in our same chairs, talk to the same people. Doesn't always happen here. Mix it up today. Get around. Now, what I want you to do, more instructions, I want you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just concentrate on what you are most thankful for right now. It may be hard for you to pick one thing out, but just pick out what you're thankful for. I want you to really dwell on it. Think about what you're thankful for. I want you to be able to see God. Keep your eyes closed and just dwell on it for a second. Man, God is good. God is so good. Whatever you're thankful for, He gave it to you. He provided that for you. And we're going to start our praise and worship this morning. So now you can open your eyes. I want you to join in. I want you to don't just listen to this wonderful band and these singers make the music. Join in with them. Sing praises to God. Visualize to Him what you were just thankful for. Join in with all these songs and thank Him for what He's done for you. All right? Let's have a good morning.
Your love. crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. After wave, it crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in. Crashes over me, crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter. And wave after wave, it crashes over me. Crashes over me. For you are for us, you are not against us. Champion of heaven, you made a way for all to enter in.
Protect us, that you provide for us, Lord, that you've provided us with fathers on this earth to love us like you have loved us, Lord. We thank you so much.
Bring me to my knees. Jesus. is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. 'Cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made pure, and I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. He is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true, 'cause I am found, I am yours, I am loved, I'm made. I have life, I can breathe, I am healed, I am free. 'Cause you are strong, you are sure, and you are life, you endure, and you are good.
Sure.
praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all you wonderful fathers out here. Ushers are coming to worship God with our giving. I want to thank you. Yeah, give me a hoo-hoo. I really need a serious one. This time of year, things get a little tight, and we're budget-wise, we're behind 1 week. So, need you to help us, help you. You ever heard of that? Help us, help you. And so, over this summer, if you could remember the church and your giving, we would appreciate it to help us catch up that week. Well, BJ, good to see you and Lauren and your newborn boy. I've never seen such proud parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts and everybody else. Looking forward to dedicating that young man for long. And I'm going to do it because I know I'm going to have about 50 extra people here on Sunday morning. So we'll make sure we get that done real soon. Before I introduce my guest speaker this morning that most of you already know, God just bless this offering, bless the people who gave, and I thank the Lord that the Bible says that as we bring our tithes and offerings to Him, that He'll rebuke the devourer for our sake, that He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing for you, that there not be room enough to receive, and that He'll cause what you do to produce, and your fruits will remain with you. God bless. My father passed away, and he only asked two things, and I had the task of telling my dad that he had a month to 2 months to live. And when I told him that, he cried a little bit, and he wasn't crying for himself, he was crying for us. And but I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, "I've got two requests. Number one, you buy your mother a brand new car." As he looked at me, knowing, "Because you can't fix it." Daddy could fix anything and everything, no matter what. If it was broke, my daddy could fix it. So he said, "Buy your mother a brand new car." And he said, "And when I go, I want Ralph Martin to preach my funeral. And only Ralph. Not you, and not anyone else." Daddy was a stick. Daddy never liked more than one person preaching a funeral. He said, "Ain't but one person needs to talk at any funeral." That was just the way he was. And so he made sure that only Ralph Martin was going to preach. And so I want to read one verse of Scripture. We talked about John the Baptist last year, and it says, the last prophecy of the Old Testament, the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi, "Look, I am sending you the prophet Elijah before the great and dreadful day of the Lord arrives. His preaching will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." Thank God that Elijah came in the spirit of John the Baptist. John the Baptist came preaching repentance, and he came turning hearts of fathers to children and hearts of children to fathers. And I just thankful for this day to honor fathers. And it's an honor for me to ask Ralph to preach, not because it was Father's Day, but because I was out of pocket all week and didn't have time to study. I went fishing. So... And I'll tell you a quick story. I asked Ralph several weeks ago, I said, "I want you to preach one of the Jesus stories." And he said, "Oh, good." He said, "I'm going to do the woman at the well." And it just crushed me because that was my one I was looking forward to preaching. And I didn't say anything to him. And so a couple of weeks after that, I asked him, I said, "You know, on Father's Day, I'm going to ask you to speak. I'm going to be fishing that week." And he said, "All right," he said, "I think I'm going to do the parable of the sower and the seed." And I said, "Good. That's a good one for you to do, Ralph. And I said, because I wanted to do the woman at the well. That was one of my favorite ones I was looking to. And he said, why didn't you tell me when I said that? I said, well, I just knew the Lord would change your heart. So would you welcome a good friend of mine, Dr. Ralph Martin.
Amen. Thanks, Alan. Thank you, Bjorn. You must have had a hidden secret of the second one you wanted to preach, because I changed my mind again. Amen. So, oh, amen. Well, it's good to be back here. Amen. Good. Happy Father's Day to everyone. And I asked Bjorn a while ago, I said, would it be okay if I take just a second or two and honor the founding father of this house, which is Brother Reverend E.D. Goss. And if you didn't have the privilege to meet Brother Goss, you really missed a tremendous statesman in the Lord. He was, in all my life, I never thought he liked me. Because he wasn't one to say, I like you. I remember when they were on High Falls Road, in January of 76, when Brother Goss, the founding pastor of this church, turned it over to his son, Buren, and Buren became pastor, Brother Goss's uncle, Andrew Goss, was a pastor of First Assembly of God down in Dublin, Georgia. And I've been preaching for Brother Andrew for several times there, several meetings, and he kept saying, I got a nephew you got to meet. Well, we met, and he introduced us, Buren, Ralph, Buren. Buren, get Ralph to preach. And that's how we met. And about 2 weeks after Buren took the church in January of 76, I came that one Sunday and spoke for him, and then came back in June of 76 and preached his first revival at the time, New Life Church. Amen. And so I loved Brother Goss. I really did. I loved his brother. Just loved him. It was just something about him. I remember one time I went over to High Falls Road to preach, and I found me this sports coat at JCPenney's. Had it on sale for $39.95 or three easy payments. And I loved it. Oh, I loved it. It was a black sports coat that had a red pinstripe, a white beige pinstripe, and something like a light yellow pinstripe. I was decked out. So I came over to preach for Buren Wednesday or Sunday. I forgot what it was. Brother Goss walked up to me and said, always called me boy. Boy, where in the world did you get that coat at? And I could tell in his tone of voice that he wasn't too taken by that coat. I said, I got it at JCPenney's. Why? What possessed you to get that coat? He said, I can't even hear you speak tonight for the loudness of that coat. He said, you heard of Joseph and his coat of many colors? Well, son, you went and bought yourself a coat of too many colors. I think I preached that night with a coat saying on the front row. I didn't. But anyway, I didn't even know. I mean, I knew the man liked me. But when we heard Brother Goss was getting sick and the time was coming, I remember we went to his house to see him several times and have prayer with him. And so when Buren called me and asked me what his daddy wanted, and I said, are you sure? You sure? You didn't get that mixed up with nobody else. He didn't know. Dad wanted you. But we do give honor to Brother Goss because he's of that lineage, of that era where God was precious, sacred. But to give honor to Brother Goss, we also got to give honor to the man that made Brother Goss, Brother Goss, Sister Goss. Because whatever he did, and all the honor we give, it's because of that lady right there, Sister Goss. She never stood in his way. She supported him. Raised two sons while he did his thing. Every time he was there preaching, she was there. Time the door was open, she was there. And whatever he became, it's because of her. And Sister Goss, we honor you this morning. So good to see you back in the house of God. Amen. And we want to honor the father of the house, which is Pastor Buren. Amen. Pastor Buren. And it's the same way with Pastor Buren. Everything Buren is because of Barbara. Amen. Amen. Because of Barbara. And we give honor to these. And Francis and I have been coming now for about 3 years here. We'll be in July. And I just want to just take just 1 second and honor some of the spiritual fathers that I see. Now, this is not church. This is Ralph and Francis doing this. Amen. And I really want to honor this morning brother, a spiritual father in this house, Brother Joe Hardwick. Joe, you are one of the most spiritual men I know, buddy. You truly are a spiritual father to many, many people. You in London. I thank God for you. Another spiritual father I want to honor in the house is a spiritual father in this house that I acknowledge, and that's Dr. Keith. Amen. Him and Miss Penny. Amen. If you can't love Miss Penny, you just have not the love of God in you. Amen. I do know that's one of the most sweetest ladies I've ever in my life. But I had the privilege of pastoring with Don Pye for years, and her mother was there in the church, Sister Sarah. Such a sweet, sweet lady. Amen. And also another spiritual father I see in the house, and that's Brother Doss. Terry Doss. Terry, my man. Every Sunday I ask him, how does he feel? Does he want to dance or does he want to shout? Which one? And he said, I better stick to shouting today. I better stick to shouting. But we do honor you, men. And then there's an uprising father in this house that's probably one of the most inspirational men I know. And that is Joey Grubbs. If you are not on Facebook, it would behoove you just sign up for Facebook and read his last 6 posts. Every day he honored all his children. He honored all his children. And I'm thinking, wow, what an inspiration, Joey. And then the other night at the play, when Adam sung a song to you, Francis crying, then got me crying. We all crying, looked around and you wiping your eyes. And Sister Susan said, I knew he wasn't going to get through this without Joey crying. And also, brother, another father in this house, a true, true father in the Lord. And that's Brother Billy Woodard. Brother Willie, Brother Billy, amen. I thank God for you and Sister Susan. Y'all are such an inspiration to me. You really are. And it's good to have my old friend here from Stockbridge days, which with me for over 20-some-odd years as a true father in the Lord. And good to have you, Dulos. Good seeing you this morning. He said he wanted to come here and preach this morning. Amen. So anyway, now, I like for all the fathers in the house to stand up. Stand up. Every one of you men are truly an inspiring father. Now, what I would like this morning is for all the ladies that claim these men to stand up and give them a standing ovation. Amen. To all the fathers in the house. Amen. Amen. Truly, you are blessed to have the lady behind you that's behind you and beside you. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Since Pastor Buren been telling me about these Jesus stories, I have decided to reread the Jesus stories. And I found this so intriguing, Pastor Buren, that when you read Jesus and read it as one of his stories, it takes the religion right out of it. And what the Lord dropped in my heart today, I really did have, I want to preach one of the parables, the 4 parables, instead of the parable of the sower goes out to sow seed, I wanted to preach it on the level there's 4 minds, 4 levels of mind. The 4 souls are the 4 minds. But closer we got to Father's Day, the more I kept meditating on fathers, and truly, the more I kept meditating on Brother Billy, Brother Joe, and Dr. Keith, and Joey, and Brother Goss, the more I began to see the importance to internalize fathers. And then I remembered one of Jesus' stories in John chapter 8. As I was reading the story of Jesus, and I encourage you to read John chapter 8 as one of the Jesus' stories, really, it's not really out of order, because John chapter 10, Jesus lived that part first in John chapter 8. So you do know that the New Testament is not in the order how it portrayed, but it's a collection of book. It's a collection of incidents where Jesus was in. It's not in order. And as I begin to read John chapter 8, I begin to see something emerge that I begin to follow the pattern of it throughout the New Testament. And that is the Pharisees are the religion of that day. And you've heard me share this in the School of Positive Thinking. I want you to look at the Bible, start looking at the Bible as a metaphor, as a book of principles. Not necessarily a history book. It's a book of principles that Jesus is saying, and every story that Jesus shares has 1,000 layers of interpretation to it. And it's whatever level you own determine how you interpret it on that level. And as I kept reading, I kept seeing what was happening with the Pharisees, and that is when they were confronted with truth. When religion is confronted with truth, believe me, it'd rather fight than switch. Like the old TV commercial, I'd rather fight than switch. What, Clarendon cigarettes? I'd rather fight than switch. Pharisees would fight to prove they're right. You see, you have to have an ego. And if you got an ego, well, you don't have to have one, but you all got one. It has to be right. It's got to be right. Every time the Pharisees confronted Jesus, they argued with him. They fought with him because they had to be right, and to be right, they had to prove him wrong. See, that's the problem with ego. It had to be right. You got to prove something else wrong for you to be right. I thought about the movie Braveheart when they were at the first battle of Stirling, and the British, all their army was there, and Highlanders was there, and the elders of the Highlanders were going to go see if they could negotiate with the British. And Mel Gibson, William Wallace, is on the horse, and the guy's all blue paint all over him, and they said, "Where are you going, William?" He said, "I'm going to pick a fight. I'm going to pick a fight." And that's exactly what Jesus did to the Pharisees. He brought the worst out in them just by merely sharing things. So in John chapter 8, immediately we begin to see the Pharisees bringing him a woman caught in adultery in the very act. They're some desperate people. Now my question is, why didn't they bring the man? Now call, because you can't commit adultery by yourself. I knew you couldn't in Tweed County. You can do a lot of things by yourself, but commit adultery is not one of them. But the Pharisees chose to ignore the man and picked on that poor lady and brought her, trying to pick a fight with Jesus. And basically Jesus, Christ in Jesus, outsmarted him every time. So the chapter starts off like that. Then it gets into heated discussions about fathers. It goes from protecting that woman, not condemning that woman, telling her to go and sin no more, and it ended with whose father you are. I found that an interesting slide rule there. Then Jesus said something in John 8, verse 42, that we probably have read many, many times and never paid much attention to it. Jesus told them, "If God were your father, you would love me." If God were your father. So I looked up in the New Testament alone and found that Jesus referred to God as his father 55 times. One time he referred to, in this verse, if you knew God were your father. And then when the disciples come to teach him to pray, he said, you start out by saying, our Father. The other 53 times, Jesus said, my Father. My Father. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, in the ancient text of the Hebrew, Father means a protector and a provider. A protector and a provider. Ron, Brother Ron, come in just a minute, son. Could you move this down here? If I had my pea shooter, I'd shoot that one line out right there, but then they couldn't film. Because the last thing I'm thinking while I'm trying to preach is what Howard said to me. Don't walk off stage. Don't stumble off that stage. And all I can see is that light right there. And Howard saying, don't fall off that stage. Don't fall off that stage. So, yeah. So let me come down here. Let me come down here amongst you. So the meaning of Father is protector and provider. Jesus said, now do you, if you knew God. Now see, in the South, in the Bible Belt, in the South, we all was raised conditioned to believe in God. And we always refer to God, well, he's Father, because Jesus said he's Father and he's Father. But let me share something with you. Father has no meaning until you personalize it. Until you personalize or internalize your Father. See, Father is just a title. It's just a title. Symbolism, but with no substance to most people. So for God to be your Father, you have to internalize God as your Father. And when you internalize God as your Father, you then will know him as your Father, not everybody else's Father. Because in actuality, God is whatever your conscience make God to be to you. That's why your God, when people say, this is my God, this, I serve my God. Well, good, it's your God. You made him. You made him what he is in you. No, I didn't. My dad didn't. I served the God of my father. Well, that's good. Until you get old enough, yeah, you got to make him your God. Then you got to make him your Father. Who's going to be your Father? Now, we were conditioned to pray to a God, and we just used the subtitle Father, but in actuality, we never saw him as Father because we never internalized him. And so thereby, we saw a God out there, up there somewhere. Only when you internalize God as your Father does he become an inward reality. And this is what Jesus is telling the Pharisees here. Because we know that because really it's picking a fight with them. And then they start saying, well, we got Abraham as our father. Jesus said, really? The Abraham I knew is your father? I said, what do you mean the Abraham you knew? You ain't 50 years old. He said, oh. Well, boys, before Abraham was, I am. Now, you saying Abraham is your father, and yet you don't even like me. And if Abraham is your father, remember, your father longed to see my day. Your father lived to see me get here. Live anticipating the Christ. So if you loved Abraham, was truly your father, if you had truly internalized Abraham, you would see how your father felt about me. You see, in the Eastern world, that's why I love to study Eastern philosophy and Eastern religion. It always internalizes everything that they think is spiritual, they internalize it. Whereas the Western world, which, especially in the Bible Belt, we didn't internalize it. We just believed in it, but never brought it in as personal. So thereby we learn to pray to a God out there, up there somewhere. God, hear me. But whereas if God were your father, if you internalized him, then you would know. You would see and you would know. Religion always focused to make the fatherhood of God an external objective, whereas spiritualists always focus on the fatherhood of God as internal. Now, once we accept the eternal fact that we are one with God, are one with Father, you've internalized it. You've internalized it. How many ladies here has internalized your husband, and how many husbands here has internalized your wife? Y'all are one. Two separate entities, two separate bodies, but it's one. See, that's what you've got to do with God. Because without that, it's just going to leave it in the religious form. We believe in Him. We pray to Him. We believe in Him. And we are hoping and praying one day that we live good enough and pray good enough, eat our vitamins and say our prayers, that we'll be accepted in the sweet by and by. But once you internalize God as your Father, and that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees here. If you had only known God as your Father, you would love me. Because if you made Him your Father, then you recognize He's my Father. He's then our Father. One heart, one mind, one spirit, one motive, one intent. And so thereby then, we would understand that our Father created us as Himself, not for Himself. And now being created as Himself, we're here to procreate, not only in reproducing the earth with little bitty, but to reproduce the earth in creation that He's created. I was at a church not long ago and I asked him one question. Name me one thing God's created in the earth after He made man. And just like they did, they just looked, huh, do what? You can't think of nothing that's been created on earth since God created man as Himself to be procreator. You created. You created because God made you as Himself. See, if we could just teach. Now, I want to say this, and I want to say this for the glory of what I see. I see so many young fathers today, and a lot of them here in this church. I'm so much proud of you. Men like unto Brandon and other young men here that is so far ahead of the game than what I were, what Buren was when we were your age as just being daddies. When you embrace fatherhood and internalize it, there's an inward love. There's an inward affection then that you have that procreates the atmosphere, the environment, the environment. But the Pharisees, they weren't interested in that. They kept arguing because religion has to argue of being right. It's just got to be right. Because religion is the biggest fertilizer for ego. Now, what really makes it rough is when your ego gets saved and you tell your ego, you saved. And I like to say, saved from what? Saved towards what? Well, I'm saved, so I'll go to heaven with God. That might be 70 years from now. You got a long little life to live between now and 70 years. Saved not from what, saved towards what. Well, see, when you are a father, when you internalize fatherhood, you realize now your purpose on life is to procreate not just children. Anybody can be a sperm donor. That's a male. You're not here to be a sperm donor. You are here as He is, so are you in this earth. And the first thing a father's going to do is he's going to procreate the environment, the situations and the circumstances for the children to be raised up in. Because everything is conducive to his environment. You plant an oak tree in your yard and go down in the woods and plant an oak tree, see which one grows the fastest. Everything grows in its environment. Fathers create the environment for your home. But only if you internalize the fatherhood of God as your God. And if God is what your conscience has made God to be, do you have a God that can help you? Were you creating him? Or have you created one you got to beg to, plead to, hold your breath for? Hope he will understand. Hope he will see you. Hope he will be this here. No. See, we're coming in greater light than we've ever come. In the days of the founding father, Brother Goss, when he walked in the light he had, in the fullness of the light he has, Buren cannot walk in that same light his father had and expect to create what he's creating now. Dusty cannot walk in the light solely of what her father has created and create the greatness her and her children are going to create in the ministry 20 years from now. We got to keep walking in the light. For the light of light, the light is like the light of dawn that keeps getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. But only if you internalize it. You got to internalize. You got to take it personal. You got to take, I believe this. Remember, anything you believe is only a theory till you work it out. But once you work it out, now you internalize it. Now it becomes a law in you. So Jesus said, if God was your father, you would love me. Now he's telling that to a bunch of people, Joy, who absolutely sold on the fact they love God. They love God so much in their religion, they couldn't even pronounce his name. It was so holy. If they pronounced his name, they'd have to die. Now, putting the cart back here, what do you believe that you have personalized? Now, Jesus already got the Pharisees already upset in John chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. Jesus now is full of the Christ of God. That's how you internalize God. You take on the nature of the Christ of God, and the Christ of God grows. Now, hear me. As long as Jesus fed people, as long as Jesus healed people, they did not get their ruffles, their feathers ruffled too bad. Now they got ticked off at him when he healed one day on the Sabbath. They got upset at him when he healed on the Sabbath, and they got upset at him when the day they found out that he was went through a cornfield, him and his disciples, and picked some fresh roast ears and ate them. They were upset with that. But as long as he fed the people, gave to them, really no harm done. Oh, but in John chapter 10, verses 30-31, he let the cat out of the bag, Francis. He said, boys, let me tell you something. Me and my father, who you call God, are one. And verse 31 said, and there they picked up stones to throw at him. Now, as long as you keep God out there, up there somewhere, as long as you keep your religion polished and you got all your beliefs, we'll overlook the corn. We'll even overlook healing somebody on the Sabbath. But you done crossed the line now, buddy. You said you and God are one. A name that's so holy we can't even pronounce a name, and you say you and Yahweh, you're one? You and Jehovah are one? They picked up stones to throw at him. Now, as long as you know God as God, fear God, serve God, come to church, love God, pay your tithes, love God, stand up and salute America and God, But you stand up somewhere and say, me and God is one. Remember that old Merle Haggard song? You're bringing out the fight inside of me. Then they're going to bring the fight inside out of you. And the reason you don't do it is because you're not really sold on the fact you are. Because you've not really first net, because you really have not conventionally, confidently made him a personal to you, your father. I tell you what, dude, next time you're with your family, and y'all, because you got to ask the blessing, can't dare eat them hamburger and hot dogs at the picnic without asking somebody, asking Uncle George or Aunt Versy, somebody say the blessing. Well, next time you volunteer to say it, can I say the blessing? God, I want to thank you for getting us here today. And I just want to thank you, God, everybody here today is whole, well, and everybody here today, oh Lord, is healed, and everybody here is of sound mind. And I want to thank you today, Lord, that they love you, and I decree and declare they're all well, and they're all going to be better, and they're all going to have a prosperous life, and they're all going to be raised up to know you. And just start proclaiming affirmations what God would do. See, then don't you get a weird look at you. Pass the ketchup, please. I called attorney the other day. I got to get a visa to go back to Africa, and I was getting the visa. And this attorney, her name is Miss Bimpe. She's a Nigerian attorney, and she deals totally with the Nigerian embassy. And if you ever dealt with Nigerian embassy, you thank God somebody's got an attorney can deal with them. So she just wasn't paying no attention. She just checked a block. And in the block she happened to check was for me to go into Nigeria, though I've been there 30 times, with a multiple visa. And they stamped it. Okay. And so she called me back. She said, oh, Pastor Martin, I got some great news. I said, they give you a multiple visa, meaning you can go to Nigeria for the next 3 years and many times you want to go. Well, thank you. Thank you, Sister Bimpe. Oh, don't thank me. Thank God. I said, well, I am. Oh, don't thank me. Thank God. I did. See, I don't separate you from God. You're one with the Father. You're a co-creator. You create. Now, immediately, every Pharisee want to get up and say, No, we can't be that way because his name is holy. We cannot... That's you. You and God are one. That's what Jesus said. Me and my Father are one. There is no separation. Out of 25 years right now, 28 years of knowing each other, 25 years of marriage, now me and Francis are one. One. One heart, one mind, one spirit, one motive, one accord. I tell you what, to prove that, invite me over to your house to eat. But then say, but Len, listen, I need to ask you to do me a favor. Don't bring Francis. Then I'm not coming to eat. Because I nickname her, you go. Where I go, you go. Because we're one. See, that's what Jesus is trying to let the Pharisees know. So Father's Day, we honor the Father. The Father is you. You are the procreator. You are the creator of life, your life. And you and your wife have become one. One with who you're one with, God. There is no separation. For ego to be ego, it has to separate you from God. Jesus learned to personalize God by internalizing God as his personal father. That's why he referred to God 53 times in the New Testament alone as my Father. My Father. My Father. My protector. My provider. Mine. You see, God is not a name. It's a title. Just like mother is not a name, it's a title. Father is not a name, it's a title. I tell you what, dude, next time your kids need a check to send to school, don't sign your name to it, just sign Father. Or Mother. God only has one name. I am that I am. Now, I'm going to leave that in there because you, as procreator, are going to decide what that is. I am God, the Alpha. That is what you're going to say. I am the Omega, and you get to fill that out. I am kind, I am. I am prosperous, I am. I am a sound mind, I am. I am healed, I am. I am love, I am. But you can only do that if you personalize God. Because if you don't personalize him, he's always a God out there, up there somewhere, with his big laptop, all CNI, watching you. And if you mess up, oh, if you mess up. Friend said she remembered going to church as a little girl, and they were singing that every Sunday. There's an all-seeing eye watching you, watching you. Yes, watching you, watching you. There's an all-seeing eye watching you. See, they learned the laws of repetition. They just used the wrong affirmation in it. Friend said, so I had this image of a little girl that God's a big old eye looking down at me. When I went to Cuba many years, several years ago, preaching in Cuba, went four times in 1 year. And the tallest building in Havana is a Soviet embassy. Seriously, it's the tallest thing anywhere in Havana. And the purpose of that is to let all the Cubans know Mother Russia is watching you. Now, what if we could move that eye out of the sky and put that eye in you? And can't nothing get by you because the eye's in you. What are you personalizing? Now remember, he's whatever you create. Fathers, I want to say this. There's more to you than you see. Jesus is trying to get the Pharisee to see this. Boys, if you love me, but you can't love me because you don't see the Father. You only see your God. You can't see the Father because you can't see the Father for seeing your God. Your God is blocking your heart view of seeing the Father, the provider, the protector. So all they got to rely on is say, well, we got Abraham. Well, we're Baptist. We're Methodist. We're charismatic. We're this, we're that, we're Smith, we're Jones. Does it really matter? And then Jesus came right back with them. So Abraham is your father, huh? So you're Baptist, huh? So you're Pentecostal, huh? Ah, you're charismatic, huh? And you always ask any charismatic, we're charismatic. Hone them in what they believe in, and they will tell you, we believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that means what? And that means what? Now, I got a school I just started since we were here in Conyers, School of Positive Thinking. It reminded me a lot. It really reminded me. We even got a Diane there. Now, until you see an Afro-American woman holler, woo-hoo, God, go, I'm back in Griffin again. And they are just as enthusiastic and just acceptance and growing. So I asked them last week, would someone please stand up and read Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4 for me? And they did, because I'm teaching them there how to become, see, to be positive, not until you internalize God, you can't be positive. It just stays in the religious realm until you internalize it. So I asked him to stand up and read Isaiah chapter 50. So this woman, she did. She finally got set her purse down, got someone to hold her coat, and got somebody to hold the umbrella. She got up. She opened his family Bible. Whew. And the Lord will give us, that the Lord may grant us, the tongue of the learned, so we may know how to speak a word to someone that's weary in the due season. I said, thank you for reading that. Did everybody hear it? They all heard. I said, now will someone let me know what is the tongue of the learned? I was fishing for brim, and I knew I'm going to catch some. This lady stood up. She said, well, it means the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. I said, is that really what it means? So you tell it, you believe the tongue of the learned is speaking with a new tongues. Tongue, which tongue? New tongues? Unknown tongue? Other tongues? What tongue? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? So that's the tongue of the learned? And now they're all looking at me like you are. Do what? Inquiry minds want to know. I said, what if I told you that other tongue, the tongue of the learned, is a tongue that you're learning a new way of talking to those that are weary? So I took one of their leaders and I held his hand like I'm holding Joe's here. And you know what I did? I started speaking in tongues to him. And you know what I said? I said, now tell me what I just said. He said, I have no idea what you just said. Well, it just happened, this particular leader, he befriended one of my sons one time, Jacob. I said, now, see if you can interpret this. I thank you for what you did. You reached out to my son one time when he needed it. You reached out to him and you were nice to him. You were kind to him. And you showed love to him. You helped him build up his self-confidence. I said, now that is the tongue of the learned. You learn to speak positive. You learn to speak love. You learn to speak in confidence, surety. That is the tongue of the learned. But you can't learn that until you personalize, internalize what God is to you. See, only you can interpret to yourself what God is when you internalize it. Because you are procreated. You create him. If you create a God that's going to pop you if you do wrong, then guess what your God going to do? Pop you when you do wrong. You got a God that's just waiting to get on your case because you didn't pray as much as you should have prayed yesterday and going to wait 3 days later to get on to you about it. You create that kind of God, guess what he's going to do? You don't pray that he's going to get on you 3 days later about that. Well, what if you create a God that don't care? Then you didn't create a God. You create ego. Then you've created your ego. What kind of God should I create? What kind? You determine that. I determine every day to make sure I keep creating a God that loves people, kind to people, be nice to people, understand people, Bjorn. Don't judge people, love people. But I read in the Bible what he was. You reading in the Bible what James said he was. What do you say he is? I'd like to have scriptures. I'd be glad to give it to you. They kept coming. Jesus said, well, men say you this, men say you that, but who do you say I am? Who do you say? See, what Jesus is telling the disciples, it doesn't matter. I know what Isaiah said about me. I was there when he wrote it. I know what Ezekiel said about me. I guided him in it. But what are you saying about me? You're the creator, but you can't create until you internalize God, personalize him. That's what Jesus is saying. Listen to me. I have taken the name that is too holy for you to even mention, and I have internalized him and personalized him, and now I'm going to let you know 53 times I'm going to let you know he's my God, my Father. What a Father's Day present. To understand, you don't have to be downtrodden no more. All you got to do, you procreated them young'uns, then create the right environment for them to live in. You procreated that little girl, then create the environment. I want her to be a princess, then create the environment, Father. And she'll be raised in that princess. What I want to show you today, this Father's Day, is there's more to you than you see. There's more to you than you see, Mike. You are the creator. I'm going to be down in the lump. Like the old genie in the bottle. Your wish is my command. I'm going to be the head, not the tail. Your wish is my command. Amen. All right. Make God internalize him. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. He's whatever you make him to be. Paul wrote in Philippians 2, verse 5, he said, now let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now you can make him, you ain't got to make him Father. We Pentecostals used to call that, you're getting a familiar spirit about you. You're becoming a familiar spirit. Yeah. That's the way you can make him personal. And the only way you're going to know, make him personal, is become emotionally energized to what he is in you. And when you make him emotionally energized, what he is to and in you, you have personalized your God. And now he ain't everybody's God. He's your God. He's your Lord. He's your God. Amen. But what do we do with what the Bible says? You're doing what the Bible says. You're sitting in another dimension, a higher dimension. You're doing exactly what the Bible says. You're making God your God. Amen. Lord, we bless every father in this house. May every father in this house internalize their fatherhood. May every father in this house see themselves as procreators with God. May every father in this house see themselves the head, not the tail. So they'll act like the head, think like the head, and quit acting like the tail. Lord, I thank you right now that every person here will internalize the Spirit and God in their lives. And everybody said, amen. You are of God.